The night that I won that championship, I went to my daughter, my oldest daughter, Anaya. She looked me in my face and she said, "Dad, I love you. I'm so proud of you. But I feel like I just don't know you." And that hit me to my core. My relationship with my children is everything. All the missed birthdays, all the missed basketball games, dance recitals, holidays, father-daughter dances, you name it. I can't make up for lost time, baby girl. But what I can do is set the example and blaze a trail as AEW champion and make sure this was all worth it.
Aaron Grant.
I am a professional wrestler, the present Matthew Grant, and if you can't tell by my lack of enthusiasm, although I will say before I dive into how I feel this morning, this episode of Collision was a banger. Yeah, I am dying this morning. Shout out Brockport, New York. Shout out IWF. Great show last night that I got a chance to be a part of. Big Four weight tag team match. I almost did it again.
Hold yeah, time. I know.
We
This is our second time that we've started to record.
Second take. But yes, sported a black eye. I'm very sore. I was banged up already from last weekend. Still a little banged up from last night. But the train keeps on rolling. We got Norfolk County Championship Wrestling in a couple of hours, literally, after we record this. The show starts at 2 o'clock in Simcoe, Ontario. So if you're listening to this and you want some good live professional wrestling to check out, come on out and check out the show. I'm on the show today against Mick McGuire. So, yeah, but without further ado, we are here to talk about Collision. We are here to talk about AEW, I guess Rampage as well, since it's thrown in there as a random extra. I don't know, before we dive into the episode, if we're getting a Collision next week.
Oh, yeah. There had been talks of that. I wonder if it'll either be moved to a different day or if it's just not going to be a Collision, which also brings me to the question, are we going to have Rampage next week? There's just a lot of questions.
Just stay tuned to SME social media. We will keep you guys updated as we get the updates, because as far as I'm aware, there is no Collision next week. So
okay.
If that's the case, then we will be seeing you guys in 2 weeks. But let's get through this week's episode. Let's get through our top three and the rest of the show results and all that fun stuff. Without further ado, take it away.
All right. First, I would just like to say a bit of a challenging time picking a top three for me, because this was honestly a great episode of Collision.
So normally when you have that, it's like, I'm struggling to find stuff.
Yeah,
to
and
pick.
That's why I'm like, I just wanted to say that it took me a few minutes to gather up my top three. And once I had them, I did scroll through everything else in the show. And I had a moment of doubt where I'm like, should I change it up? But I decided to go with my initial gut instinct just based off of my memory before I read through the whole review. So my number three for this week was our trios match that took place between our current United Trios champions,
the Unified.
It says United on this blog that I am reading because I forgot what to call it. Unified Trios champions, the Bang Bang Gang, and they took on Top Flight and Action Andretti, the Throat Goat himself.
Yes. Okay.
In my notes, I wrote Top Flight and TG.
That's right, Action Andretti. Although, like a fun little match here.
It was a very fun match, and I've been, again, Top Flight has really been working their way up in the ranks for me for just how I'm viewing them on the show. I really enjoy watching them. They're a lot of fun. Speaking of a lot of fun, this episode of Collision did take place in Daly's Place, Jacksonville, Florida. So it was a fun little throwback to where we saw so much of really AEW's beginnings as a whole, specifically the brothers. Wow.
The guns?
Thank you. I was looking at you and I lost every part of my train of thought.
I'm just going to take over from here. So,
sure.
The guns notoriously were in the crowd for the pandemic era of AEW. And so they did a callback to that. Jay's beating up one of the I honestly can't remember who it was on the outside. And literally the Bang Bang Gang hop, or the guns hop into the crowd and start chanting, start booing, start just being them good old fun selves.
Specifically popped at the fact that they're cheering at first, obviously, for their own team member.
Yeah.
But they did a one more time chant, and he kind of laughed and waved them off, and they started booing him. Just a real genuine pop right there. It was a fun match to watch. Again,
you can
just
tell those guys are just having an absolute blast right now. The three of them are like such a fun trio to watch. And then, like you said, on the other side of things, like Top Flight and Action Andretti are coming together. I said it to you while we were watching it. Like, we've discussed how Top Flight have had different trios partners before joining them. And I think Andretti is like that perfect guy. He fits the vibe and continuously proves that for me, as they had like a fun trios match here with the Bang Bang Gang. Obviously, Bang Bang Gang up.
Retaining their titles.
Titles up?
I believe so.
Okay, maybe they were up.
I could be wrong, but I believe it was a title match. Yeah, it was for the trios titles.
Okay, fair enough. Regardless, Jay White up with the Blade Runner for the 1-2-3, and Bang Bang Gang continuing to run things when it comes to AEW.
Yeah, and that being my number three, you could take it away to yours.
My number three for this week, I saw this match graphic pop up on social media, and I probably sent it to like nearly 10 people. Like, I was so excited to see grizzled young veterans in AEW. James Drake, Zach Gibson. When I tell you, like, literally, these are two guys I look up to. These are two guys that, like, we have ripped quite a bit of stuff off of when it comes to
that's self-awareness right there.
100%. Those guys are like so goddamn good, and to see them, they're all over the place right now. They were just doing thing Impact, obviously, unfortunately being released from their WWE contracts not too long ago, but they're just taking full advantage of being independent contractors, being their own boss, and pretty much showing up wherever the hell they damn well please.
I was going to say, there's a lot of perks to being an unsigned talent. Obviously, the consistency and I'm sure the paycheck is helpful to be signed. However, just the opportunities you get, as well as to expose yourself to new audiences.
Yep. It's a very different time as a wrestling fan and as well as a wrestler. A lot more opportunities, a lot more leniency when it comes to working multiple television organizations. So, very, very cool time. And again, great to see the GYV popping up in AEW. And honestly, like a solid tag team for them to be facing in Max Caster and Anthony Bowens, the Acclaimed. Solid back and forth match, man. I think if this is what you want to call a quote unquote tryout match for the GYV, like, pick them up.
I was going to say, they got it, if that's the case.
They connected with the crowd. Their shit looked great. Like, there was one point where, Zach Gibson hit a codebreaker in the corner, followed up by James Drake coming across the ring with a coast to coast, and it was just like, holy shit. Like,
yeah. I don't have any other description for that except for holy shit. Like, it was one of those matches where both of us were very much on the edge of our seat when mm-hmm. we could just see them setting up these moments and just like, oh my God, oh my God.
And this is like one of many matches we were on the edge of our seats. Like, keep in mind, so I'll mention to you that I was in Brockport, New York last night. Didn't get home till probably around 1:30. Probably didn't get to bed till around 2:30, 3 o'clock. Did not watch Collision last night. So we got up this morning. Yep. I've been up since 7:30 this morning to watch this episode of Collision. And normally would drain the shit out of me. This episode of Collision was so good. And this was just one of the prime examples of it. Again, I saw this match graphic. I sent it to many people. I knew this was going to be a fun match, and it delivered. I'm super happy to see the GYV in AEW. Unfortunately, not on the victorious side of things. When you're facing off against former tag team champions, former trios champions, kind of just goes down that way. So Bowens and Caster up, but if I had to say anything about it, this is not the last time you see the GYV in AEW.
Well, not to mention, and you had pointed out too, towards the end of the match, there was a distraction thrown in there by Daddy Ass himself, which is where they were able to kind of get the Acclaim, sorry, was able to get up on Grizzled Young Vets and take that victory. So I think it's definitely...
They protected the GYV in the end. So, like, GYV were setting up, I believe, Bowens for the finish. And, Daddy Ass got, like, hyped because they were talking shit to Daddy Ass, that they being GYV. And
rips off his shirt, getting ready to get in.
They kind of turn their head to him for a split second, and that's all it took. Caster took the one out, and they took the other out with the I'm not too sure what Bowens calls his gimmick, but mic drop followed up with Caster. So a 1-2-3. And a hell of a tag team match. So that's my number three. Take it away.
Absolutely. My number two, genuinely put a lot of thought about whether this was going to be number two or number one, but this is where I ended up landing, was our main event. The
I'm in agreement with this as well.
Really?
I went very back and forth, but yeah, I 100% agree with this.
So this landed at your number two as well?
This is probably going to be very, we're going to have a very similar, if not
same. I figured so much, but the first ever title defense of Swerve Strickland up against Claudio Castagnoli, which was only announced at the beginning of the show.
I was gonna say, so Swerve came out to start the show addressing the AEW audience first. So everybody was a little hot that this past week on Dynamite we didn't get a full Swerve address. Instead he ended up wrestling Kyle Fletcher, which had a banging match, by the way. Be mad about that all you want. So they gave Swerve the floor to, I guess, have a speech, a celebration.
Just introduce himself as the new champion.
However, they did it in a very smart way, because prelude to this episode of Collision was the NBA playoffs. And they went out of their way on the broadcast to plug Collision and to plug the episode happening right after. So you had a pretty decent lead-in from the NBA game to Collision to see Swerve being presented as champion, like not necessarily for the first time, but to have his moment. So
yeah,
I think it was very smart of AEW to do it that way and to take that lead in audience and to show them like, hey, this is our fucking guy.
Well, and he also, in his promo, not only was he just presenting himself as the new champion, he put over a lot of what happened on the pay-per-view. Yep. He was putting over Willow also being a new champ. He was putting over Adam Cole showing up and walking down the ramp. Like, he was bringing up a lot of important moments of that show to really show, like, hey, we're here.
This is the vibe of AEW now. This is the feeling. Like, the feeling is back. And honestly, it felt like it too, man. The Swerve is the guy right now. I said it to you, like, this is the first time in professional wrestling in a very long time where the iron has been struck, where it's been like exactly where it needed to be. There was no delay, there was no, and don't get me wrong, the chase is fine, however, this was the perfect moment to strike to capitalize on the momentum that Swerve had. You didn't let it get stale, you didn't let people get over it. And now it feels fucking special.
Yep.
And that, to me, is like the biggest compliment to Swerve.
I think this is just going to be an incredible reign. If I could predict ahead of time, like, I think they've, like you said, they did it in perfect timing. I think he is the perfect champion right now. And even just the way that he addressed the crowd tonight tells you that he is absolutely where he needs to be.
We've talked about it before, where you go from guys that, like, just don't belong in other companies. He was just a guy in a group in WWE, and now he is the guy in AEW. He has presented himself as one of the top talents in professional wrestling because of the opportunities he's been afforded in AEW. So props to Swerve just for capitalizing and taking the ball and absolutely running with it. A promo too that, like not just this one, but any promo Swerve cuts, like, you're invested in. He's somebody who can captivate the audience. And that, again, that's something to tip your cap. It's one thing to be a good wrestler. It's one thing to be a good promo. It's a whole different beast to be both.
Yep.
And Swerve has it right now. So, we had him kicking off the show. And Claudio, we have Swerve throwing out an open challenge for the AEW World Championship.
Essentially, he wants to be a fighting champion.
Yep.
Is the synopsis. He even brought in his personal life, talking about how the night he won his championship, his daughter said that she barely feels like she even knows him because he's on the road so much. And so he said, he's like, I've got to make this worth it. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. I've had to make so many sacrifices, so I want to be a fighting champion, whoever wants to. And out comes Claudio Castagnoli, all suited up, looking all spiffy, and all he says when he comes out is, you're on.
Yep.
And that leading into the main event, which obviously then became our number two mutually, in just a fantastic well thought out technical match taking place between Swerve Strickland and Claudio Castagnoli. And I have to use those words because, like, just a few fantastic spots.
Over 20 minutes. Like, these guys got some time to go. And shout out Swerve. I mean, he literally wrestled on the pay-per-view on Sunday, having a banger match. Wrestled on Wednesday, having a banger match with Kyle Fletcher. Now delivering an absolutely hellacious main event with fucking Claudio Castagnoli. Like, literally, Swerve is the guy right now, and he's killing it. And how many times do we have to put over Claudio Castagnoli in this goddamn podcast? Like,
so strong.
Like, it's just seamless. It's literally seamless. I feel like a broken record. This guy is so goddamn strong. Like, there was just certain things he was doing in the match. The swing he did. He started at a certain pace, and he fucking sped up during the swing.
Yep. Not to mention, there was a Swerve went to do the Swerve stomp on him. And he literally lands on Claudio's shoulders. Claudio stays standing upright while Swerve's feet are on his shoulders and then brings him down into an uppercut. Like, just absolutely nuts maneuvers coming from Claudio Castagnoli.
And the way they got into the swing was really cool, too. He went for the house call, the, like, side kick to the face, and Swerve Claudio ended up catching him out of it into the swing. It was, again, just the chemistry and the way they meshed, the styles meshed together. This was a proper main event. And again, like, between Fletcher and Claudio, like, you've had two solid matches for Swerve as champion already, showing that he, again, is going to be a great world champion. So
yeah, absolutely fantastic match. And I can't say enough how much I'm excited to see what Swerve does with this championship.
Now, like, we've talked about two great matches already in the GYV versus the Acclaim and then we had Swerve versus Claudio, but I think both of us literally were in unanimous agreement that, like, there's no way we could go with a different number one this week.
Yeah.
Our number one for this week is Phoenix versus the Beast Mordos. Formerly known as Black Tarus, if you weren't aware of his new name. Holy shit.
You want to talk about a match that you could not take your eyes off of. And this is why I'm like, I have to make it my number one. As much as the temptation to put, like, Swerve and Claudio at number one, obviously, main event, championship match, superstars. There's so many reasons for why I'm like, this should be my number one, but I just couldn't do it. Because what a return from Rey Fénix. And, like, we said it right from the beginning, he's coming back from, like, a pretty major hip injury. I think he was gone six months.
Yep.
And the first thing he does before the match even starts is backflip into the ring, and we're like, oh.
Oh yeah, just like shoots himself at the top rope and just backflips himself into the ring. Wow, I really struggled with that.
I was gonna say, I had already said backflip, and then you just really tried so hard to repeat it. Yeah, did not work out.
The way he did it though was so fluent, and I mean, it's Phoenix, enough said, but my god. Entrances aside, my goodness, like, what? Wow,
the Beast. I'm just going to refer to him as the Beast because that is the most suitable name for the way that he just laid a beat down on Rey Fénix. Mm-hmm. Like, the speed of both of them, and then just when he made those connections, just absolutely clobbering him.
Yeah.
Just, again, I am a sucker for this style of wrestling just for how fast-paced it is, and I am so impressed that these wrestlers are able to keep this pace and still put on such an amazing performance, and it was just so good.
So, Mordos is somebody who has been seen on TV before, and he's been in a limelight. Like, he was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a tag team champion at TNA. However, we haven't really gotten a chance to see him in this light in quite some time, and it was refreshing because sometimes you just, like, forget, and sometimes you don't realize what somebody's capable of until they're given the opportunity. And obviously, we haven't seen Fénix in months. Mordos, we haven't seen him get a chance like this where he's had an opportunity to shine on national TV in quite some time. So both of these guys took full advantage of the opportunity here, and, like, this was a killer match. There was a cool little, like, tilt-a-whirl Widow's Peak that Black Tarus or Mordos did at one point. There's so many things that stood out to me in this match. Like, it's hard to even pick out certain spots to even, like, put over. But, yeah, that was one thing that really stood out to me. And honestly, like, just a killer match.
And that's the thing is, like, I'm having a hard time even thinking of spots. The only thing I could think of that I have to mention is Rey Fénix, first match back from major injury. At one point, he dove out of the ring. I thought this man broke his leg. Like, it just, the way his knee just ricocheted, mm-hmm. and it was a moment of sheer panic, and he just popped right back up, totally fine. Absolutely killer match. In the end, Rey Fénix taking the victory and immediately just booking it out of there.
Well, literally, he got a roll up on Mordo, so he knew to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. So,
like, straight into the audience, just cleared it. And I'm so excited to see him back. I just have to simply put, just like, I didn't realize how much I missed him until he just did this match. And I cannot wait to see what else he does. And honestly, I hope that they bring back the Beast Mordos as well, because he was incredible in this match.
Just like an all around banger match from top to bottom that, like, honestly, go out of your way to check that out. If anything from this episode, that's the match to check out. Nothing against Swerve and Claudio, nothing against the GOIV and the Acclaimed, but like,
no, honestly, I would recommend you watch this whole episode. But yep. if you're limited for time, 100% agree, this is the match to watch.
So big shout out to our number one this week, Fénix and Mordos. But yeah, dive into the rest of the show really quickly, and of course some Rampage stuff, because honestly, Rampage was a banger this week too. So with that said. We had a Tony Khan update, as we haven't had a chance to dive in on this really quickly. I'm going to share my thoughts, because it's not too often that I'm willing to eat my words.
Ooh, love that.
I'll be honest. I was the biggest critic of that footage airing, the All-In footage, led to the return of Jack Perry, led to the return of led to the formation of the Elite, the new Elite, and ended up this past Wednesday, the closing segment of Dynamite was Tony Khan being taken out by Jack Perry. Okada and the Bucks came out to kind of run him off, tease that they were protecting Tony Khan. Instead, ended up giving what they now dub as the TK driver, the formerly known as the Meltzer driver, the Flipping Pile driver, to TK, and Okada, the Bucks, and Jack Perry stood strong to end off Dynamite. So shout out Tony Khan, fully committing to the bit.
Well, I was gonna say, even in that moment following, they brought out Tony Khan's dad,
yeah, Sean, to check on Chad Khan coming out, and yeah, like, this is the first time he's made an appearance on AEW TV, so it was kind of cool to have that,
just a nice touch,
extra blurb. But speaking of commitment, not only Chad coming out, but following that, it's very much known that Tony Khan is a executive when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe the owner of the organization, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds about right.
So, happened to be present for the NFL draft and fully committing to the bit, neck brace and all, being put over on NFL Network for AEW programming, a full write-up being put up on the NFL website about what happened on Dynamite. So, like, a nice little crossover there. And again, Tony fully committing to the bit. So,
just fantastically done. Yeah. Some good protection of kayfabe, some good storytelling happening right there.
So, again, I wouldn't say I was the biggest fan of the footage area. I wouldn't honestly say I was the biggest fan of the direction this started in. However, I do like this new Elite, Jack, Okada, the Bucks. You obviously will have the return of Kenny coming up on Wednesday. You've got Hangman lurking in the shadows. I'm sure you've got some more AEW loyalists that are going to step up. So we're going to have basically an Elite Civil War coming up.
Yep, that's exactly. You took the words from my mouth. Again, I have to agree. Not the biggest fan of the footage airing, however, I appreciate what they have done with it.
Yep.
It's pretty clear, I think, now that
it was basically used to get Jack back on television.
It was not necessarily just a petty move against Punk. There was more to it, mm-hmm. And I respect that in the sense of they seem to have turned it into something decent.
Which, respect, well, I give credit where credit is due. However, back to the Tony Khan update, they basically were like, outside of, because they were in Jacksonville, like you mentioned, at Daly's place, that's obviously where the Jaguars based as well. So They made it a deal to be like, Tony may be here tonight and is present for the Jacksonville shows. However, right now is not cleared by doctors to travel with AEW going forward. Nigel stepping up and being like, so does that mean the EVPs are going to be running the show from now on? What happens if anything goes down? And you just see Tony turn to him and be like, really?
Oh, by the way, special shout out now that you're mentioning Tony and Nigel just absolutely killing it.
I think we
with the commentary tonight.
We legitimately popped at least 5-6 times.
And I think like Nigel kept genuinely popping Tony.
Yep.
Like at one point, like he straight up just yells, he's like, EVP's my ass. Like he's so done with the bullshit. And yeah. He is just poking fun at the situation, poking fun at himself. Letting Nigel get his ribs in. At one point, Nigel, I wish I could remember the line he said, but he just came out with an absolutely banger line. And Tony Schiavone jokingly being like, writing that down. Like, it's just had to get that plug in there that if any of the matches did not hit as hard as they did tonight, the commentary genuinely would have made my top three. I considered it. Mid-show, I was like, is the commentary going to make my top three? Because it's genuinely been so much fun.
Yeah, Nigel and Tony together are fantastic. Good point to point that out because, honestly, it's a note to be made. The commentary made this episode a lot more fun to watch, too. So. We had a House of Black promo talking about how they've pretty much got the up on Adam Copeland now. Brody King mentioning now that he has 2 victories over the current TNT champion. And the House of Black making it clear that they accept the Cope Open. However, coming up on Dynamite this Wednesday, you won't know which member of the House of Black will challenge for the TNT championship until it happens.
Imagine Julia Hart just comes out. Sorry, I didn't even think about that earlier, but like, God, what a twist.
What a plot twist.
But very excited again. I talked about this in our post show. I am incredibly excited to see what is to come with House of Black and Adam Copeland, as he has now taken the Mist and there's clearly some storyline building there. So very excited.
Very much so. And I honestly really hope it's Malakai, selfishly. I'd love to see the single match between the two. However, any one of the three is going to be a great match. So
I'm placing my money on Buddy. I don't know why.
Fair enough.
We'll see what happens next week.
We had Orange Cassidy talking about everything that's kind of going on around him right now. And poor Orange Cassidy, just in a rough spot. Trent, Chuck, his best friends are fighting. And he's just, yeah.
He's just being held together by KT tape at this point, too.
Yeah, just...
Not sponsored. Sorry.
Fair point.
I don't know what mood I'm in right now to just make these little jabs, but no, yeah, Orange going through it right now as he's discussing this with our backstage interviewer who truthfully did not catch her name, but I'm very intrigued as this is the first time I have
And they made it a
point
on commentary. I totally apologize because we probably should have caught the name a little bit better. However...
As he is having a conversation with her, outcomes Statlander basically being like, hey, he needs us.
Yeah.
And pulling him away from the interview as we are building into the parking lot match that was going to be taking place at the opening of Rampage.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be actually be touching on, actually we'll just do it really quickly now. We had Chuck getting ready for that match and Orange Cassidy walking up and being, you know, kind of
checking in
on him, and Chuck being like, listen, like, no matter what happens in this match, you can't interfere. I need to do this by myself.
And I would just like to say, Orange Cassidy not walking up alone as he just, like, hands Chuck a dog. I believe it is Chuck's dog.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you for sure, but it was just a very sweet little moment of just, like, just that friend being there, like, hey, you need this. Just, you know. But, yes, Chuck insisting he has to do it by himself tonight.
Yeah. We had Roosh making an appearance here on Collision, taking on the former Danny Burch, Martin Stone, former NXT Tag Team Champion. Honestly, quick match. Roosh destroying Stone with not one, but 2 drop kicks to the head in the corner, one being in the match, one being post-match. And according to Roosh, when you mess with the bull, you get the horns. So, unfortunately for Stone, he got them damn horns.
Yep.
We had Serena Deeb addressing Toni Storm, talking about how she's coming for the Women's World Championship, talking about how she had 18 months off and now is making it a goal to be the women's world champion, to be a champion in AEW. So making it very clear what her mark is, what her goals are, what her statement is in AEW. So speaking of the women's world champion, Toni Storm, she went one-on-one with Anna Jay on this episode of Collision. Call back to the whole Mariah May, Mina situation. They were going to sip champagne following Mina's match with Anna on Dynamite. Anna getting up on both of them, Toni making the save. So
at one point, Toni going to, I believe, give a hip attack to Anna Jay, and Anna Jay moving and her accidentally giving it to Mariah May, making it a point to go outside of the ring and take care of Mariah May, make sure that she is okay before continuing her match with Anna Jay and in the end getting that victory.
Well, there was also a point where Toni got bumped, and this was prior to the hip attack. To the outside, Mariah started doing CPR on Toni as well.
I just love their dynamic. I absolutely love their dynamic. And
well, even after the match, I think Toni kissed Mariah's hand and she like fainted. And then,
well, like at the end of the match to begin with, Toni kept fake fainting. Like she was just full of drama, just fainting. And then like you said, giving Mariah May the kiss, her turn to faint. Another banger of a line from Nigel as he's saying like, it's pretty easy for a lot of these female wrestlers to get the attention of all the men. It takes a lot for them to get the attention from the men and the women. As a woman, I agree.
Yep. Fair enough. Yeah, Toni victorious, and clearly Serena Deeb making it a point to say that she's coming for her. So, and last and certainly not least, we had Shibata talking about his match coming up on Dynamite with the current FTW champion, The Learning Tree, Chris Jericho. And then addressing the fact that he has a potential match with Shane Taylor Promotions, and he's like, I'll take you both on. I don't really care. Keep in mind, all this being done by Google Translate, as per usual with Shibata.
As the usual Shibata way of doing things.
But before Shibata could be like, yo, I got this by myself, Daniel Garcia coming into the frame and being like, hey, I got a lot of respect for you. I got your back. Let's do this together. So, yeah, a tag team match being set up for the main event of Rampage as you have Shibata and Daniel Garcia taking on Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor.
And just a quick moment of note as Garcia saying, so what do you think? We're half expecting Shibata to say through Google Translate, bet. Instead, he says, save the last dance.
Yeah.
As he walks away and Garcia slowly follows him doing his dance.
Nice touch. But yeah, that was pretty much the notes that I had down from Collision. To dive into the Rampage episode quickly, because again, a solid episode of Rampage here. We had kicking off the parking lot brawl between Trent and Chuck, and just an absolute bloody brawl between the two, the best way to put it.
I was going to say bloody right from the beginning, too. Yep. Like, they really went in on each other. You could tell when it's best friends fighting.
Yep.
You can easily tell when it's best friends fighting.
Finish of the match, seems like Chuck has some beats. Trent with a low blow, followed up by a pile driver on the top of a car hood, followed up by what many know as the Hell's Gate. Undertaker's finish, the Gogo Plata, being applied, and obviously after pile driver on the top of a car hood, he's pretty much knocked out as it is, and then choking him out, solidifying it. Trent picking up the victory, going to pick up, I believe it was like a tire iron or something. Maybe a hammer. I don't know exactly.
A wrench.
Oh, it was a wrench. Perfect. There we go. It was some sort of a tool. And Chuck's leg was hanging over the car right near the glass window. Statlander and OC coming in and being like, yo, like, that's enough. Like, leave it at where it's at. And Trent straight up looking at OC and be like, this is your fault. Hits Chuck in the leg, taking him out. So, and then taking off, obviously, Statlander and OC checking up on Chuck. But interesting to note, as they were like making a point on comedy, to be like, nobody in the world would be approving of this, as they flash back to the one and only Don Callis
watching on a screen backstage. So
interesting.
Little Easter egg planted there to see. Curious to see where this goes. Yep. As at this point in time, I got to admit, I'm not too sure what Don Callis is really up to. It seems like a lot of his former family members are starting to fight, or his current, sorry, family members are starting to fight. His former family members have sort of moved on. So
This
could be an interesting development of a possible new member of the Don Callis family.
We have Kyle O'Reilly addressing, I believe, Collision coming up in Vancouver, BC.
Yep.
In about a week and a half. And
his hometown.
Yep, his hometown, talking about how he just wants the best, and he wants to show why he is one of the best, and show why AEW is where the best wrestle. So Shout out to Kyle O'Reilly. Always a good time to see him on my television screen. It's good to see him back as well doing his thing. We had Deanna Purrazzo taking on Thunder Rosa this past week. We've seen a little bit of a back and forth between them leading to what we've got here. Rosa talking about how Purrazzo lost at Revolution. Obviously, Rosa just lost at Dynasty, so both have lost against the Women's World Champion, kind of de facto proving each other's point, I guess, how they both can't get the job done. I don't know. Either way, point being, Purrazzo actually doesn't really need to be noted the whole match. Rosa getting a sneak-up victory on Purrazzo. Honestly, a solid bout, but yeah, the post-match shenanigans is where it's at. Rosa getting a quick roll-up on Purrazzo, celebrating, just doing her thing, basically saying, like, I'm coming for the title now, and Purrazzo jumping Rosa from behind, being like, no, like, you asked for this.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, choking her up against the barricade, slapping her, and Rosa responding with just a slap to the face.
I was going to say it needed to be broken apart by officials.
Security getting involved. Yep. And after security gets involved, separates them. Deanna Purrazzo actually flipping off Thunder Rosa as she's being escorted out.
A very aggressive promo post-show as well from Deanna Purrazzo that was aired on social. So clearly a different side of Deanna. And honestly, this is the best version of Deanna. So. Perfect.
Very, very excited to see this. Honestly, excited to see the program between her and Thunder Rosa, as Thunder Rosa, I think, now has finished up any of her imminent chase against Toni Storm. I think that story has kind of been laid to rest for now. So, yeah, good to see her having a new enemy.
And moving on to the Undisputed Kingdom, the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, as well as your international champion, Roderick Strong. The Tag Team Champions making it a point to shout out the boss, Neck Strong, Tony Khan.
Yeah, there was a great picture shared of Tony Khan and Roddy with their matching neck braces.
So
just fantastic.
But let's not forget about Will Ospreay. As Roddy making a point to be like, hey, like, you're on a run right now, but understand when I'm finished with you, that's it for you. So making it a point to say, like, once you meet the Messiah of the Backbreaker, I almost said Messiah of the Face Buster.
You know what? They kept saying it, and I was waiting for that slip up.
Shout out my tag team partner, JT Kirk. But yes, basically being like, once I'm done with you at Double or Nothing, sorry, bro, your career's finished. So we'll see what happens. Will we have a new international champion? Will we see Will Ospreay capture gold in AEW for the first time, or will we see Roderick Strong do exactly what he says and potentially end the career? A one Will Ospreay.
Either way, going to be quite a historical moment, as currently Will Ospreay is undefeated in AEW.
Yes, to be noted as well.
So
we had Bill, Big Bill. I mean,
you were right with Bill. Yeah. You just missed an adjective.
Yeah, Big Bill enhancement match. I did not catch the name of his opponent. I apologize.
Trevor Blackwell.
Thank you very much. As making a point to prove to Chris Jericho that he wants to be under the learning tree of Chris Jericho this past week on Dynamite. Coming out and telling Jericho he wants to prove to him that he can learn from Chris Jericho. So here's the proof in the pudding, if you could say so yourself. As Big Bill, quick, 2 minutes or so, up, 1, 2, 3. Jericho clearly watching on from backstage, clapping, as well as a nice little touch wearing a Lionhook shirt still as well.
As Bill is also saying, teach me a learning tree. I hope you're watching. So just a good little moment of clearly he is watching.
Very interesting. I will note really quickly before we move on from this segment, Big Bill, Ricky Starks, seems to like that's finished. A lot of heavy rumors between Hook and Ricky Starks that we may have potentially seen the end of them in AEW. So.
Dang.
We'll have to throw that out there, and we'll have to leave that as it is and see if that we could follow up on that in the future to see if we do see them back in AEW. But as of right now,
it's looking like they might be moving on to bigger and better, potentially. Not to say that they had any bad year, but, you know, we've given our opinion quite a few times about what we think of the Hook run. But Ricky Starks.
Starks is a star.
Just an absolute superstar. And unfortunately, he's been in a situation where several of his big moments have kind of been squashed by injury or firing or just absolute
circumstances
chaos.
Circumstances out of his control.
Out of his control. So you never know where he could end up next, where hopefully he gets some better luck to really show off what he's capable of.
No secret. He is a good friend of the current WWE Undisputed Champion, Mr. Cody Rhodes. So.
You never know where he could end up.
Never know. As we move into the main event of the evening, we had Shibata and Daniel Garcia taking on Shane Taylor Promotions. Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. We put over Shane Taylor Promotions all the time.
We also put over Garcia all the time.
Oh,
so.
100%. But making a point to say, like, Shane Taylor Promotions continuing to take advantage of the television time that they have, being one of the best things on Collision weekly. They've almost taken that role that the Bang Bang Gang had for a very long time, where like they were just like the constant of Collision. And I understand they had their match on Rampage this week, but being a part of that Saturday night time slot is a good fit for Shane Taylor Promotions. So
absolutely.
And then Garcia and Shibata. Shibata's a freaking legend. Garcia's a rising star. Just all the makings for a solid bout to end off the show, and that's exactly what we got with Shibata picking up the victory with the penalty kick on Lee Moriarty, and Shibata actually leaving Garcia the ring, the arena to celebrate with Daly's Place, to celebrate with the AEW faithful to end off the episode of Rampage. So,
just a really cool moment there.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, them getting the dance in, of course, but just an all-around feel-good moment to end off the return to Daly's Place for All Elite Wrestling.
And such as wraps up a honestly great Saturday night of wrestling.
Yeah, jam-packed episode of wrestling. Like, we talked 40 minutes now, and that tells you everything you need to know. Yeah, super fun. I wouldn't have got up at 7:30 in the morning for anything less. To be honest with you, this is a highlight episode of Collision in the 41 weeks we've been doing this podcast. So big thank you to everybody for joining us on this episode of Collision Catch-Up. Of course, if you're listening to this on SME Radio Network, show the same love to this show that you do, or show the same love to every other show that you do this show. Check out the podcast network, where it's SundayNightsMainEvent.com, whether it's SMEradio.com, whether it's SME Radio on your favorite podcast platform. Check out the shows and show some love. We will be hopefully back here next Sunday, but at the moment, it seems like we won't be. So stay tuned to our socials. We'll keep you updated with what's going on with Collision, and we'll keep you in the loop. But yes, I'm Matthew Grant. First day is a four. I can't even say my own goddamn name properly. That's where we're at here. at Matthew Grant, first day is a four on all forms of social media. Keep up with what I'm doing in the world of independent professional wrestling. Hell of a weekend. Hell of a past couple of weekends for me. So independent wrestling is thriving right now. So if you see a local show around you, go and support great independent wrestling. And until next week, or until potentially 2 weeks from now, guys, we'll catch you later on. Aaron, take away with your plugs.
And you can find me on all forms of social media at Aaron154Grant. See what I'm getting up to, both just dipping my toes into the world of professional wrestling or realistically just wherever I'm doing with my life. This has been Collision Catch-Up. Thank you so much for listening.